الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Dunya is a very changing place. There's never any condition that is constant in dunya. And every person, regardless of whom he may be, he might be a king or a subject, he might be the wealthiest person or a pauper, he might be anybody, but every person goes through these phases and experiences these changes. Sometimes there's prosperity, sometimes there's poverty, sometimes it's health, sometimes it's sickness, at times it's extreme happiness, and sometimes a person is plunged into grief. So these conditions keep changing. These conditions are experienced by everybody. And this is dunya. A person who expects that these changes should not happen to him, these conditions should not come about, he is wishing for the impossible. In dunya, these things will continue. To somebody little more, someone little less, but nobody is without these changes happening. Despite all these conditions, despite these ahwal, these changing situations, how does a person continue to conduct himself in a manner that he maintains his composure, he keeps his sanity, he doesn't become overwhelmed? Insan is insan, human nature, he will feel all these emotions, but he can still maintain his focus. He can still continue with life and take things in his stride. So what is the prescription for this? How does a person achieve this? So in order to try and just understand this very briefly in the short time that we have, there are three things that we should very firmly adhere to, settle in our hearts and minds, and inshallah, this will become a means of taking things in our stride. The very first aspect is to have this firm yaqeen in the heart, this complete faith and conviction that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is al-hakim and is also al-hakim. To the extent that a person has embedded this in the depths of his heart, then many things will become very simple for him to take. Allah ta'ala is al-hakim. He is the supreme owner, controller of the universe. Everything belongs to him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone created this entire universe, and everything belongs to him alone. When a person suffers some loss, it might be some family member passed away, it might be some material loss, whatever loss he suffered, something that grieves him, something that pains him in some way. So we have been taught in the Quran Sharif that to recite Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now there's a parting of some sort. Insan is insan. He gets attached to things around him. And when he parts from something, he feels some grief. He feels some sense of loss. So on all these occasions, we have been taught Alladhina idha asabatum musiba qalu inna lillahi. That whenever some difficulty, some calamity, some hardship befalls them, immediately they reaffirm this conviction. They reaffirm this yaqeen. Inna lillah. We belong solely to Allah Ta'ala. We also belong to Allah Ta'ala. The person that went also belonged to Allah Ta'ala. The thing that got lost also belonged to Allah Ta'ala. And everything and everyone is going to return to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ So reaffirming this yaqeen and conviction, Allah is Al-Hakim. Everything belongs to Allah alone. When everything belongs to Him alone, He has full prerogative to take when He wants. Nobody can question anything about it. The eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, her child became very ill, a little baby, and she became very perturbed. She sent a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you must please come immediately. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was a little occupied with some very important work, so he said, I'm coming soon. But then she sent a message, no, she gave a qasam of Allah ta'ala, you must come immediately. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا عَطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to Him belongs whatever He has given and whatever He has taken. Everything belongs to Him. What He has gave, what came also came from Allah alone. And what went, Allah ta'ala took it. And لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى Everything has a prescribed moment for it. A decreed time and a moment when it will return to Allah Ta'ala. فَالْتَصْبِرْ وَالْتَحْتَسِبْ Therefore adopt sabr and have hope in the reward from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for that sabr. So on this occasion also, which was a very testing moment, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reaffirmed the same lesson. That look, turn your attention to Allah Ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. What Allah Ta'ala gave belongs to Him. And what He has taken also belong to Him. And everything that belongs to Him, He is merely given it to this insan as a loan. So insan has, with the permission of Allah Ta'ala, the free use of it within the limits and boundaries Allah Ta'ala has set. So it's a loan to him. And therefore on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be questioned. How did he use these gifts and bounties of Allah Ta'ala that were loaned to him? Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, his child got very sick. Any case, he had gone for some errand. By the time he returned, the child passed away. Now, as a parent, as a father, little baby, he was very attached to the child. And now the child passed away. So his wife said to the household, look, nobody say anything. I will break the news to him. She was also a mother. She also had that same emotions and feelings like any mother. And those who have taqwa in their hearts, they have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, they have even greater compassion. Because they are connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they are likewise very compassionate in the servants of Allah Ta'ala. They have greater compassion. But in any case, she had this firm yaqeen. Her heart was so connected to Allah Ta'ala, that despite this grief that came upon her now, she managed to maintain her composure in such a way that when Abu Talha radiallahu anhu returned, he didn't notice anything out of place. He came in, and nevertheless, gradually then, she broke the news to him. She broke the news to him by asking him a question. That if somebody has loaned the people of a household something, and then they finally ask for it again, they say, please return our item. So what should the people of the household do? So he replied, they must return it. Obviously, it doesn't belong to them. They cannot now demand to keep it behind. They should let it go. They should return it. Now that he answered the question, she then broke the news to him that your child was a loan from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And now that the time had come, Allah Ta'ala has taken him back. Now you make sabr. Now this is a loan. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim. Everything belongs to him. Everything is purely the prerogative of Allah Ta'ala when to give, when to take. So when a person has this firmly in his heart, part of human nature, he'll feel that grief, he'll feel that sorrow, he'll feel that sense of loss, but it won't take his sanity away. It won't overwhelm him, because his heart is still connected to Allah Ta'ala. And then together with Allah Ta'ala being Al-Hakim, Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is infinite. And everything has the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala in it. It's not necessary we'll understand it. We might sometimes understand it. We might sometimes partly understand it. You might sometimes never understand it, because our minds, our intellects are so very feeble, very minute. And in this minute intellect, minute mind, how can this infinite wisdom be understood? So Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. And everything, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ. Wise, the wise person doesn't do anything devoid of hikmah and wisdom in it. Allah Ta'ala is All-Wise. So now a person submits himself, that whatever the hikmah of Allah Ta'ala is in this, I don't understand it, but I submit to that. Masruq rahimahullah, very great tabi'i, he narrates one incident. There was one little poor family staying in the wilderness somewhere. Now in the wilderness, everybody lives scattered around. And very poor family, they owned one rooster that used to wake them up for the time of salah. One donkey, they used to transport the water from far away, put the water bags on it and transport it and come. And one dog used to guard the house. Poor family, these few possessions, small little place. One day one fox came, snatched the rooster and ran away. So now the family was grieved over it. But there was a very pious person. The person of the household, the man of the house was a very pious person. He said, Asa yakuna khaira. There's some good in this. Allah's hikmat and wisdom, we have no idea. Outwardly, there can't be any good in this. What good can there be in? One rooster we had waking us up for salah. He said, Asa yakuna khaira. Some days later, one wolf came and attacked that donkey, killed it. Now the water from so far, they have to bring it now, carrying it. He said, Asa yakuna khaira. There's some khair in this also. Sometime later, the dog died. He said, Asa yakuna khaira. There's some good in this. Allah's hikmat. We don't have any idea. Some days later, they wake up in the morning and they realize in the darkness of night, all the other dwellings around, nearby, wherever, all the people overnight, some people came and captured them and took them away as slaves. Which was a common thing in that time. People would get just captured and taken away as slaves. Now the question came, all the houses around, all scattered around. Everybody got captured. What happened? How come we got saved? Then they realized, everybody in the darkness, the animals in the yard, were making some sound, due to which these people were alerted, there's people here. So as a result of the sound of those animals, they found their direction in the darkness. And they captured the people. Here there were no animals left, everything died. No sound. And they were not alerted that just somebody stay here also. Now sometimes it will become very obvious. It will become very clear that how something that happened became good for a person. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Asa an takrahu shay'aw wa huwa khayrul lakum. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'aw wa huwa sharrul lakum. Perhaps you might dislike something that was good for you. Who liked that animal to have died and that donkey that's carrying the water from so far away having died? But that was good for them. وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you might be wanting something, desiring it, but that is not good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala knows, you do not know. Allah Ta'ala is saying in the Quran Sharif. So to submit to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is the controller, the supreme controller. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim. And everything belongs to Him. And whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed for us, there's good in it for us. So therefore we turn our attention to Allah Ta'ala alone. Then the second aspect is, we all the time should be focusing on what we have, not on what we don't have. This is unfortunately the tabiat and this nature of insan, that he often falls into this. He's always focusing on things he doesn't have. As a result, obviously, whatever he has, no matter how much it is, it's still limited. And it can't compare to what the rest of the world has together. So he has very little compared to everybody else put together. So he's always going to be in a sense of grief, no matter how much he has. Because there's always somebody who has something a little bit more shiny than him. If he has the most luxurious car, then somebody is flying in a private jet. And if he has a small little car, then somebody has a bigger car. And he has a small palace, then somebody has a bigger palace. And somebody, he's put in the newest gadgets, then somebody 1 month later put in even something beyond that. So this is the recipe for misery. And unfortunately, many of us, we bring about the self-imposed misery. Keep ourselves miserable. By focusing on things we don't have, what about the things we have? Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi says that a person on every breath, he should make shukr twice. One for being able to take that breath in. If that was not the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala that he could take that breath in, he would be a fish out of water. And then after having breathed in, to be able to breathe out, that's another ni'mat. On every breath, two shukr. And in order to make that shukr, he'll breathe. So this will continue till infinity, till his life goes. He can't even make enough shukr for that one breath. Now, besides that breath, and in this recent past, many a person needed that ventilator to breathe. Now a person realizes, subhanallah, what a ni'mat it is. A person breathes freely without any effort, and he has no difficulty taking in this oxygen Allah Ta'ala has provided, and he doesn't give it a second thought, and he continues life as if this is not Allah Ta'ala's bounty, and he's still complaining about the things he doesn't have. Subhanallah, with that, just that bounty of being able to breathe, if that is just limited, not taken away, limited, restricted, everything else means nothing to a person. He's now sitting on that ventilator. So what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And apart from that, all the countless bounties that we have in our physical selves alone, let alone everything else that we enjoy. Innumerable, countless bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Now all these countless bounties, we forget about this, and we think about the things that we don't have. One person came to a very pious personality, Yunus bin Ubayd, rahimahullah, and he's complaining about his difficulties, and I have nothing. So he said, okay, are you ready to exchange your eyes for 100,000 dirhams? So he said, which insane person will be ready for this? Even an insane person won't do this. Okay, what about your ears for another 100,000 dirhams? What about your hands for 100,000 dirhams? What about your legs for 100,000 dirhams? And this person carried on saying, who's going to give you anything for this? He says, you are complaining, you have nothing. In just these few limbs, you have hundreds of thousands of dirhams and more than that. Prices, no price can pay for it. And you are complaining, you have nothing. Have you focused on this? Have you looked at the ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with? In the 3rd century Hijrah, there was a person in Baghdad who was perhaps the wealthiest person in Baghdad. He was a trader, Ibn al-Jassas Jawhari. His fortune exceeded 60 million dinars, gold coins, which would run into many, many billions. Something happened, whatever the detail of it is, the ruler of the time, he confiscated all this wealth. Ibn al-Jassas gave shelter to somebody who that ruler was upset with. So as a result, he confiscated his wealth. Everything confiscated, about 1 million dinars got left. But now out of 60 million dinars, gold coins, 60 million Kruger rands for understanding, 59 million odd went away. This person for 3 days didn't eat. For 3 days he's running around like a mad person in the balcony of his house, in extreme burning heat, and he's losing his sanity. Somebody, one friend of his, saw him in a distance, in this balcony, running like a madman, back and forth, bareheaded, bare feet, on the burning floor. So he came along, and he came, sat him down. The long and short of it was, he sat down and explained to him, he said, look, forget about what went away, what you have already, what you still have with you. He started now counting, okay, you have this, you have that, all the properties, whatever else you had, this is how much it amounts to. Besides this, what else you have? When all that was calculated, it amounted to 1 million dinars. Now 59 million got lost, but it was still 1 million. He said, you have 1 million dinars. Very few people in the whole of Baghdad have anything close to this. Now you're losing your sanity for what has gone, but have you considered what you have is beyond what most people have? Now he sat up and took notice, and he said, Jazakallah, I would have lost my mind, I would have become insane, had you not come to make me understand the reality. That indeed what I have is still beyond what most people have. So I should be making shukr for this. I should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for this great bounty. And not be focusing on what I don't have anymore. What has gone now. What is going to be achieved by now losing my mind over something that's gone? Let me now focus and make shukr on what I have. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the same prescription in the Hadith Sharif. Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum. When it comes to dunya, it comes to the material things, look at those who have lesser than you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. Don't look at those who have apparently more than you. Otherwise, it is likely that you are going to disregard the favors of Allah Ta'ala on you. You're going to forget all the bounties you are enjoying. And you're going to be grieving over what you don't have. And what you have, you're not going to make shukr for that. And unfortunately, in the times that we are living in, many a person falls prey to this, that we keep looking at what others have. And in this time and age, in the social media age, among the things and the harms of social media, one of the serious harms, that it is one of the greatest tools of misery. That people are now stuck on other people's social pages, Instagram and whatever else, what this person did, because we are living in a show of world. Everybody's on an ego trip, illa mashallah. So now people on an ego trip have to publish everything for everybody. What I did, where I went, what I had for breakfast, what I had for lunch, what I had for supper. And which place I went to, and a very exclusive place. So now everybody must know where I went. And every day I go to look for something new to do, which I can put on some social page somewhere. So now, person is on an ego trip, so now he needs to now keep putting something up. And somebody else is only watching what's going on. So now this is self-inflicted misery. Now this person went here, and that person went there, and now people are already probably beginning to start advertise what they're going to be doing in the coming days when the holidays come. Allah knows best what they'll do. So now the self-inflicted misery by looking at what others are doing and what others have and what others brought and bought, we need to shut all this off completely. If you want to have mercy on ourselves, if you want to bring peace in our own lives, then totally discard this. We don't have to become anybody's followers. Become the followers of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow in his Mubarak footsteps. Bring his Mubarak way of life into our lives. So this is the very important aspect, to focus upon what we have. Make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. La in shakartum la azidannakum. The more a person makes shukr, we should be engaging in this muraqabah of shukr daily. This meditation of shukr. Sitting down, dedicating time, even if it's a few minutes, and pondering, Ya Allah, you bless me with all these ni'mats. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matin iman. Ya Allah, you bless me with iman. The whole world one side. Everything one side. Only the bounty of iman, nothing can compare to it. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Qur'an. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil ahli wal mal. On each ni'mat and bounty, deeply from the depth of the heart, say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Repeatedly making the shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that will make a person very conscious of how much he has. And that will fill his heart with happiness. He won't be worried about what he doesn't have. So this focusing on what we have, not looking on what we don't have. And then the last point is, that in the light of all the ahwal and conditions that came and went, and which we are facing currently, and this is dunya. Conditions keep coming around. So now these conditions come around, what do we take from this? Do we reflect upon it? Very great personality as the Shaykhul Hind, Wa Mahmud Hasan Deobandi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he expressed this in one couplet, Inqilabat-e Alam, Wa'iz-e Rabb, Inqilabat-e Jaha, Wa'iz-e Rabb hai sunlo. That all these changes that take place in dunya, all these are admonishments from Allah Ta'ala. All these are admonishments from Allah Ta'ala. Har taghayyur se sada aati hai, fafham, fafham. Every change that takes place, every situation that turns around, it's shouting out, take an understanding, learn something, take a lesson, understand, Allah Ta'ala is giving a lesson. That in the situation that passed us, in the lockdown, etc., what happened? Have we taken a lesson? A person might have had all the money, but he could go nowhere. People had not just booked, they had booked and paid, but it didn't take off. People could have had what they wanted, but they couldn't get it. Allah Ta'ala's nizam and system, that Allah Ta'ala changed the situation and everything just came to a standstill. Everything just shut down. It's not insan locked it down, Allah Ta'ala shut it down. This insan should take a lesson, that how in one moment Allah Ta'ala can turn the situation. But now the person who takes a lesson from this, and he reconnects with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the time when conditions might have been severe, conditions changed, turned around, people were in desperation, many of us made a lot of pledges to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I will do this, I will do that, I will change my life for the better, I will stop all this sin, all this haram, going to haram places, I will cut out all the vices. We made a lot of pledges to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Are we keeping up to those pledges? That's the thing. Have we reconnected with Allah Ta'ala? And are we keeping up to that or not? In the time of the mushrikeen, Allah Ta'ala mentions about the mushrikeen in the Quran Sharif, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. When they are in the midst of the storm, in the stormy ocean, and they are worried about how they'll now get safe from this, now they turn to Allah Ta'ala in all sincerity. Ya Allah, we'll worship you alone. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we bring them to shore, they start making shirk again. They forget all their pledges that they made. We should not follow in the same footsteps. We also made tawbah, we made istighfar, we turned to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and we must continue on that same path and keep getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Become part of all the efforts of deen. Fill the masajid in the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our 5 times salah with jama'ah in the masjid. Making part of our daily tartib, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, tasbihat, zikr, and turning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in dua, having ta'lim in our homes, building the iman, our own iman, the iman of our families. This is that path to that success of dunya and akhirat. This is what will make dunya a place of peace regardless of the challenges. Otherwise, dunya also will become a problem for us. Allah forbid we get deprived of akhirat as well. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.